Part 2. Just at the edge of my vision, I can see that white enamel face in the nurse's station, teetering over the desk, see it warp and flow as it tries to pull back into shape. The rest of the guys are watching too, though they're trying to act like they aren't. They're trying to act like they still got their eyes on nothing but that blank TV in front of us, but anyone can see they're all sneaking looks at the big nurse behind her glass there, just the same as I am. For the first time, she's on the other side of the glass and getting a taste of how it feels to be watched when you wish more than anything else to be able to pull a green shade between your face and all the eyes that you can't get away from. The residents, the black boys, all the little nurses, they're watching her too, waiting for her to go down the hall where it's time for the meeting she herself called, and waiting to see how she'll act now that it's known she can be made to lose control. She knows they're watching, but she don't move. Not even when they start strolling down to the staff room without her. I notice all the machinery in the wall is quiet, like it's still waiting for her to move. There's no more fog anyplace. All of a sudden, I remember I'm supposed to clean the staff room. I always go down and clean the staff room during these meetings they have, been doing it for years, but now I'm too scared to get out of my chair. The staff always let me clean the room because they didn't think I could hear, but now that they saw me lift my hand when McMurphy told me to, won't they know I can hear? Won't they figure I've been hearing all these years, listening to secrets meant only for their ears? What'll they do to me in that staff room if they know that? Still, they expect me to be in there. If I'm not, they'll know for sure that I can hear, be way ahead of me, thinking, you see, he isn't in here cleaning. Don't that prove it? It's obvious what's to be done. I'm just getting the full force of the dangers we let ourselves in for when we let McMurphy lure us out of the fog. There's a black boy leaning against the wall near the door, arms crossed, pink tongue tip darting back and forth over his lips, watching us sitting in front of the TV set. His eyes dart back and forth like his tongue and stop on me, and I see his leather eyelids raise a little. He watches me for a long time, and I know he's wondering about the way I acted in the group meeting. Then he comes off the wall with a lurch, breaking contact, and goes to the broom closet and brings back a bucket of soapy water and a sponge, drags my arm up and hangs the bucket bail over it, like hanging a kettle on a fireplace boom. "Let's go, Chief," he says. "Let's get up and get to your duties." I don't move. The bucket rocks on my arm. I don't make a sign I heard. He's trying to trick me. He asks me again to get up, and when I don't move, he rolls his eyes up to the ceiling and sighs, reaches down and takes my collar and tugs a little, and I stand up. He stuffs the sponge in my pocket and points up the hall where the staff room is, and I go. And while I'm walking up the hall with the bucket, zoom, the big nurse comes past me with all her old calm speed and power and turns into the door. That makes me wonder.